WITY present Cut Down the Nets with Coach John Spezia. Tales of what has been and what will be the glory days of Ileana Sports. A new podcast presented by Coach John Spezia.
Coach Spezia with a very, very special guest, a Hall of Famer. I've known him for a long time. We're not going to get into the age thing, so we'll leave it at that. It's Coach Virgil Sweet. Coach Sweet originally is from Covington, Indiana, but also coached at Westville High School. So, Coach, let's start at the beginning of this. Covington High School, tell them a little bit about your time with the Covington Trojans as a high school player.
Well, we had a coach by the name of Don Reichert, and he came when we were freshmen, and he put three freshmen on the varsity, starting five. And then the war was on, and he went in the Navy as a lieutenant. And during our 4 years of playing there, we had five different coaches because of the war. But our senior year, we did win the regional, and we went to Butler Fieldhouse. And, of course, there was a thrill to play before 14,000 people for a small town like us. And so that was kind of a summary of my career there. I played baseball, basketball. We did not have football. And I also ran track.
Well, I tell you, for people to know, Covington High School, probably an enrollment somewhere at that time, probably 300 students probably. And you're right. And so people understand, in Indiana, the sectional is the first round of the tournament. The second round is the regional. And then the third round would be the semi-state. And then to play at Hinkle Fieldhouse, during that time period, during the war, because they did shut it down for a while, that Hinkle Fieldhouse was like Madison Square Garden in New York. I mean, to me, it was the mecca of basketball, because I used to watch the state tournament play. And you got to play 14,000. I tell people that guys play in high school basketball at 14,000. They say, no way, Coach. So there you go. Now, what year was that, Coach?
That was in 1945, and we had 29 in our class, and I'm the last survivor.
Wow. What people understand, Coach, and I am going to tell your age group. 94, I know Coach is still playing tennis, dances, does real estate. It's just unbelievable. I mean, he is well preserved. I guess that would be the word I'd use, but is very energetic and always has something going. I think that's a key to longevity. So, Coach, that's a great tribute to you also. So from Covington High School and the Trojans, where does Virgil Sweet go then?
Well, I went to the Navy, and luckily I got in just as the war ended, and I served a little over a year on an aircraft carrier in the South Pacific. But again, the war was over, and I was lucky enough to be put off on Hawaii for 3 months waiting to be discharged, and I played on the submarine base baseball team there for 3 months. And we had a lot of professional players on the team returning from the service who likewise were waiting for their discharges. And that gave me a really good basic for baseball. So when I got out of the Navy, then I went to Butler University. And although I had not played high school football, I went over early and got at the back of the line and watched them tackle and block. And then I ended up playing football at Butler. I was on the freshman team, and I dressed for the varsity, but I did not get into any varsity.
And the coach at Butler?
A very famous Tony Hinkle.
Well,
and he coached the freshman team, too. He coached everything. Anyway, he coached the freshman team. And I remember one time just before the half, I missed a tackle. And I don't know why this sticks in my mind, but we went in at the halftime, and we're sitting there, and Coach Hinkle comes in, and he says, "Can anybody tackle in here? And how about you missing that tackle? God's gift to Covington." That's what Tony Hinkle called me. I never quite thought of me as that.
Well, that's for those people out there, Tony Hinkle, I mean, Hinkle Fieldhouse, named after him. I mean, what can you say? The legendary coach. And I can remember watching, it was always, when I was a kid growing up, that Butler would always play Illinois at the beginning of the season. And if you remember right, Coach, he had a guy named Jeff Blue, and I'm sure there's some other ones I'm missing. But
He could jump out of the gym.
Yeah, and I just thought Butler was just a great, great situation. And I guess it's because I watched Indiana basketball. I watched the sectionals when I was a kid, then the regionals, like semi-state, all was at Hinkle, then they played the state championship there. I mean, for me, it was like I was a kid in a candy shop.
Well, when basketball started, Tony Hinkle did not recognize my ability, and he cut me. So So the following year, I decided to transfer schools, and I had to go out of state to be eligible. So I went to Eastern Illinois University, and it was a good move on my part.
You played some other sports at Eastern also. I'm going to ask you some more questions, but go ahead and tell us about Eastern Illinois University.
Well, to begin with, when I went over, I interviewed with the basketball coach, and then we interviewed with the football coach. And I told the football coach that I had been on the varsity at Butler, and he left the room and came back with a program because Eastern had played at Butler. And there for sure was my name on the football roster program for Butler. So the Eastern Illinois coach thought he had a star. Little did he know, I didn't really even know how to line up. But to make a long story short, I started off 3 years in football there, and we had to go two ways because if you came out three times in a half, you couldn't go back in that half.
That's an interesting. So I'm not too many people would realize or know that. That's a great historical part, Coach. Now it's free substitution no matter what, and it didn't make a difference how many times you went in and out.
Yes. Well, I was a fullback and a linebacker. I played 3 years, and then basketball came along, and I played on the sophomore team, and then as a junior, again, I happened to hit a coach who didn't recognize my ability, and he cut me from the squad. So that was the end of my basketball career. But baseball, in my sophomore year, I was a sophomore shortstop. We had another guy named Cracker Crum who was a shortstop. Our coach wanted us to stay on campus during spring break. We decided that we'd both go home, and then when we got back, we would be the only two shortstops trying out and let the best man win. But when we got back, some sophomore had beat us out of the position, and I played center field for 3 years, and Cracker Crum played right field.
I knew you played some baseball in around the Danville area, independent baseball. And where did the baseball lead you to, Coach? Where'd you go from that? Did you play anything after you left Eastern in baseball?
No, I had a chance to sign with the Brooklyn Dodgers and go to Zanesville, Ohio, before I went to college. Just out of high school. In those days, if you signed for a professional team, you could not play any sport. So I did not sign because I wanted to show my great ability in basketball, which never happened.
Now, for the fans, just to let you know, Coach Sweet wasn't 6'8" or 6'5". He was he was truly about 5'8" or 5'9". Is that correct, Coach?
Well, that's a little exaggeration, John. I was 5'7" then. I still am, and I weighed 180 then, and I weigh 185 now.
Wow. And for people out there, he is in phenomenal shape. So I've seen enough things on Facebook, him playing tennis and so forth. And I've talked to enough people to know the coach is just unbelievable shape. So from there, after Eastern, where does Virgil Sweet go to next? What happens next?
Well, I went to my hometown of Covington for 1 year and coached football and baseball. And then I moved to Westville, Illinois for 3 years and had really good teams there. Nice kids. And my third year, we were going to play Danville in the finals of the regional, which was the first tournament. On the morning before our game with Danville, that morning, I drove in and standing beside the wood shop was my star highest scorer smoking a cigarette. And so I cut him from the squad. And the next night, we played Danville and got swamped. And the next week, I went to school and early in the morning, and one of my star players was there waiting for me. And he said, "Coach, I'm sorry about what happened last night." And I said, "What happened last night?" He said, "Didn't you know the school board had a meeting? They fired you." So that's how I found out about it.
Well, this sounds like a page out of Hoosiers. I mean, that's just unbelievable. I didn't know all. I knew some of the story, but not the. I guess it's the rest of the story. I sound like a legendary media person, also. And you had a couple of players. You had the Krakowski brothers. Is that correct?
Yeah, I had Joe and Bob. I mean, they were great players. And Joe was a good football player. I later played defensive end for the Bears. And then I had a little skinny, scrawny kid named John Milholland. He developed into a really fine shooter, and he went to Eastern Illinois and played 3 years as a regular. He's in their Hall of Fame down there. He was a great basketball player.
So I heard the stories about Virgil Sweet. I heard the stories about Krakowski's, and of course, John Mulholland lived across the street from my folks, and that's where I heard all the stories. They say, oh, he would be out there late at night knocking down shots, had some little light up. So when I was a kid growing up, I heard all those stories, and that's where the relationship comes in. So I want to go back a little bit with Eastern before we move on to the other part. And Coach Sweet, I believe you're in the Eastern Illinois Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. And quite an honor. Yeah. I really appreciated that.
That is quite an honor for you to be in the Eastern Illinois Hall of Fame. And also, we'll get into after West the Krakowski brothers. Like you said, one played at Illinois, the other played in the NFL for a while. I think he also played the Washington Redskins. And you're right, I think he did play for the Bears some. You know, it was a time period that I don't want to jump ahead. So, Coach, you went from Westville. I know a little bit of the rest of the story, but tell the people, you go from Westville now to where?
Well, I went from Westville to Valparaiso, Indiana. And one of the reasons that I got hired there was because I cut my leading score for smoking, because at that time, Valparaiso teams were rampant with drinking and smoking, and the superintendent and the board was looking for a coach who had the nerve to clean up the program. So
you hear that now,
they
fans?
Found out.
I'm sorry, Coach. For the fans out there, you heard just what he said, to clean up the program and create a really positive culture. And I'm not so sure that doesn't need to be more and more emphasized. So, Coach, I didn't want to mean to interrupt you, but they need to hear that. That's what you did, and that's why they hired you.
Yeah, it turned out, you know, at Westville, it was a disadvantage, but it turned out to be an advantage. And then I went to Valparaiso, and after I'd been hired, I found out the reason for that. The job had been turned down by, like, I think it was 7 people or something like that, because at the time, the teams were really bad. They hadn't won a sectional in 16 years. The only good part about the job was that they had a nice gym. And other than that, it was the pits. And I found that out soon after I got there, because the first 2 years, I'm telling you, we were pretty bad. The morale in the school and the team was really bad, and the community was not behind the team. I went to sell season tickets to a clothing store, and he said, clean up the program and come back next year.
Wow.
So that was the attitude in the community. So it was a good situation to go into, because you could only do improvements.
How many sectionals did you win, Coach, while you were at Valpo?
Well, the third year I was there, we'd had 2 losing seasons previously, and the third year I was there, halfway through the, it was the Christmas time, 2 of my starters and my 6th man were drinking wine. So I cut them, and I brought up 3 sophomores, put them on the varsity, and we won the sectional tournament for the first time in many, many years. And then we won 11 in a row, and those 3 sophomores turned the program around. They were great players. They all became college captains. And, you know, it was the competitive spirit of those kids. And it rubbed off on the student body, too.
Now, who were those three players? Let's see.
A kid named Nofel Jones, who played at Illinois for a couple of years, then played at Valparaiso University. Scotty Ward, who was a captain of University of South Carolina. And Dale Gott, who was a captain of Tulane. And
that's pretty impressive.
They all were college players later on.
I still have 3 books all written by Virgil Sweet, and one was about, I believe, the V offense, and the other was about free throw shooting. And I could tell you that he had a guy, I believe he played for, it was a guy named Skip Collins. Is that correct?
Yeah, Skip Collins for sure. And of course, he was well known in your area too, because he had a sectional championship at Seeger, which is the only one they've ever had, I think.
Pretty close. And, I think he did, and then I believe Larry Little later came in and won a sectional, who had also been assistant for John Mulholland, and John Mulholland played for you. That's just kind of how this historical thing. But I still had the books, Coach, and the big one was the free throw. I think all across the country, and I believe, and I think this is correct, I haven't checked in a couple of years, but I believe Valparaiso High School still holds the national high school free throw record. It was like 79 or 80%.
That was the record until Skip Collins became the coach there. And Skip Collins had a team that shot over 80% for the year. So that's a record now, but I didn't hold it. Skip does.
Coach, I don't care who held it, but that's still pretty good free throw shooting. In this day and age, when you got guys that are lucky if they're shooting 60%, I was just over to Illinois to watch them practice, and I think Kofi Cockburn could use a little bit of Virgil Sweet or Skip Collins shooting techniques free throws. So unbelievable. People don't realize that. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Coach, I want to say there's 18 or 19 steps with the free throws. I still have it. I use it with our kids today at La Salette. I have posted a picture of a Valpo player going through those steps.
What happened, John, was when I left Westville and went to Valparaiso, they told me that when I interviewed with the board that they wanted me to write out some steps in executing a fundamental. I could choose whatever fundamental I wanted. I'd never done anything like that. So I sat down, decided the free throw shooting was a simplest thing. So I wrote out 10 steps to shooting a free throw. And then when I interviewed at Valparaiso, I had to stand before the school board with a basketball and demonstrate the 10 steps in shooting a free throw. And that was the beginning of it. Then through the years, I had a really, really great assistant coach, Dale Ciciora, and he added 10 more steps to it.
Wow.
So we ended up with 20.
I believe, Coach, didn't you have a guy, I think he did, Mike Copper, didn't he set some kind of record also? Did Mike Copper play for you?
Yeah, right. We used to shoot free throws during the one-hour lunch hour. They would come down and shoot free throws for 30 minutes, and then they would go get to the end of the lunch line. So one day he came down and he started shooting, and we shot, so we had four or five on the line side by side, and the rule was when somebody got to 50 in a row, the others had to get off and count. So when Mike got to 50 in a row, the others got off and count, and there were other kids in the gym that saw that. So they came over.
And I think Mike Copper went on and coached high school basketball, maybe some college basketball. I know he played college basketball. Where did he play college basketball at, Coach?
He played on those good teams down at Indiana State. He was a fine basketball player. Then he became a coach, and he was at Munster for a while. Had them ranked number one in the state. Of course, they were all one class. And then he got his doctorate degree. Well, first he went to Lawrence Central in Indianapolis as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Got his doctorate degree and became a superintendent of the Lawrence School District, which is the largest school district in Indiana. He was a superintendent there for many years, and he's retired now living in Indianapolis.
Wow. Coach, we got a few more minutes here. I'm going to bring up one other name that I worked with. It was a guy named Joe Otis at that time. Joe
okay.
and I worked together at Valparaiso University. So,
well,
you have so many players, and you know how this is with people. It just, that's the greatest reward of all, that the people you coached have went on to do other things. And obviously, you set the stage for the foundation of what should be, what coaches should do, is to not just basketball, winning sectionals. I know you got all the way to the semi-state, I believe, and I can't remember the date.
Right.
I remember you did. I mean, those are all great things. So don't, I'm not taking anything away from that, but the what you did as a mentor to people and the influence of basketball in the state of Indiana. Coach Sweet started, I believe, the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association. Is that correct?
The way that came about, John, was the IHSAA appointed me as chairman of the ethics committee. And when that expired, I looked around and it appeared we still had a lot of coaches that were not ethical. So I called all the 16 coaches together in Indianapolis, and we spent the entire day writing the documentary things and organized the Indiana Basketball Coach Association. That would have been probably 1972, I would say. Today, it's the largest state basketball coach association in the country.
And right now, in Saturday, you will be in Indianapolis for their Indiana Basketball Coach Association clinic, which is one of the better ones. I've been there and spoke at it when there's been 600 coaches there, and it's continued on with some help. I mean, right now, I think Steve Woody is still the executive director, who's is a good friend of mine from Ben Davis High School, and it just goes on. Mike Broughton. I mean, you've got so many. And of course, Coach Mulholland is on your Hall of Fame, I believe, museum board. And that's the whole thing I want to leave this with, is that to start that organization and the things that that coach association has done, scholarships and promoting sportsmanship. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. You're the guy. You're the one that started all that. And I know I've talked to Bruce Furchow about it, who's we're working. Him and I are, and Jim Shepard and some other people are on the Basketball Museum of Illinois board. And what people don't realize, and that's why I'm doing this interview, that people, that's, as you, I would say, to me, is just as important as winning any type of championships. And, Coach, my hat goes off to you. I mean, you're very well respected, not only in the state of Indiana, but all over the country. And I really appreciate you doing this interview. And I think it's something that people really need to know, from, even though you started in Covington, Westville, Eastern Illinois, and back to Valpo, and then, you just continued on. You're a great example what coaches should be and aspire to do what you've done. And I really appreciate you. Got anything? One last comment, Coach. You got any other comments? We're going to end this podcast, but unbelievable.
Yeah, I do have one last comment. The most common question I get at age 94 is there a secret to it? And the only thing I can tell them is I follow the don't, can't theory. And that is, if you don't do something, pretty soon you can't do it. So get out there and start walking.
There you go. What a great example. I know you eat healthy also. So, Coach, I really appreciate it. God bless you. And I just think that it was a great interview. And for people, you are a legend and truly a great example. That I, again, Coach Sweet, I appreciate you doing this. And WITY Radio, it'll be on that podcast. And then I'm sure we'll keep it archived. So you're very special. Thank you very much.
Well, the pleasure is mine. And, John, your longstanding friendship is it ranks very high with me. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Coach.
This has been Cut Down the Nets with Coach John Spezia. For future episodes of this and other podcasts, bookmark WITYradio.com and click on the Sports tab.